John 19, verse 30, and then Hebrews 10, 12 to 14. This is God's word. John chapter 19, Jesus says, as he's dying on the cross, having received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Turning to Hebrews 10, looking to verse 12, we read these words, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, awaiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." This is God's holy and infallible word. Congregation of Jesus Christ, as we contemplate the words of Christ on the cross, we come to our study of the word tetelestai in Greek, in English translated in three words: it is finished. It is finished. Now, as you hear that word of Christ from the cross, you might think it's a word that's spoken in utter defeat because he had suffered so greatly upon the cross. He had been forsaken by his own, condemned by the church, sentenced to die, mocked and spit upon, scourged and crowned with a crown of thorns, beaten and then led up Skull Hill to die as a criminal. And there on the cross we found that he was utterly forsaken of God as well as man, and there he hangs upon this accursed tree. What would you expect to hear from one who had been so utterly forsaken? What would you expect to have heard from Christ on the cross? Would you have expected a plea for mercy in those last moments? Would you have expected some declaration of his own personal innocence? For he was innocent completely. We don't hear the cry of a helpless martyr. We hear but one expression on the cross as he is about to die, and that is the expression of the satisfaction that the end of his sufferings had now been reached, not the last gasp of a worn out life and a life that was about to expire, but we hear the cry of victory in the word tetelestai. It is finished. It's a note of triumph. He declares on the cross in this word, his work is done. I want you to remember that that cry, "It is finished," is a cry of a note of triumph. He is the victor, not some last gasp, but the mighty declaration that all that was required by God and his law was accomplished, finished. He had accomplished the atonement for which he came to die for sinners. The demands of justice were fully met. The holiness of God was perfectly satisfied. The debt of your sin and of mine was perfectly satisfied, fully paid for all eternity. It will never be held against us again, according to Scripture. All of the ritual foreshadowing of the Old Testament was fulfilled. The skin that covered Adam and Eve in the garden, the lamb that Abel offered as a sacrifice, the ark that preserved Noah and his family in the flood, the sacrifice of faithful Abraham of his own son upon the altar, the Passover lamb that was repeatedly slain and its blood shed, so that the blood signifying the need for redemption, this was all satisfied in the work of Jesus Christ. All that the Father gave him to do, and remember, Scripture records it, Jesus told his disciples over and over, "I have come to do the will of my Father." He never lost sight of that goal. He never lost sight of that appointment that he had on the cross. There on the cross, All that the Father had given him to do, he completed. All of the work of salvation for you and for all of his elect was accomplished. God's purpose in time and history was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The matter of God's justice is no longer an uncertainty, because Christ now declares those who are in him justified before God. His cry is the announcement of God's justification of sinners. Sinners are acquitted of guilt and of sin and have the right to eternal life. And there's nothing in this world, in the life to come, that will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because Jesus spoke that word on the cross. It is finished. His whole life anticipated that moment, the moment of his death. The goal had been reached. The Lord, according to the prophet Isaiah, would bruise him. The devil, according to Scripture, tells us he had done his worst. Divine justice was unsheathed, and its sword was that sword which pierced him. The wages of sin had been paid. And at that very moment, when all of it was accomplished, he gave this loud cry, "It is finished, forever done." Never to suffer pain, the contradiction of sinners, the onslaught of Satan, or even the face of God turned against him again. It was truly mission accomplished, completely and irresistibly. That's the word of the writer of Hebrews when he says, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. It was accomplished. Or as we've just sung in the hymn, Jesus paid it all. Nothing more to be paid. He has accomplished all that God had required for the salvation of his people. He suffered and died as God's anointed king, the royal sufferer, not an earthly king whose suffering and death is their loss. You know, the book of the Kings and Samuel and Chronicles as well lists the kings of Israel, and they all have the same thing. And he lived so many years and he died, and now he's just a part of history. And he lived and he died. Some lived longer, but they died. And they were buried with their fathers. But not this king. This king's death establishes his kingdom. This king's death fights upon the battlefield, which is his cross, and defeats the enemy. He wants to die because in his death he brings life and salvation for all who believe, because his kingdom is not of this world. From the very foundation of the world, he is anointed the king over all creation. His subjects are those that are given to him by his heavenly Father. That's why in John 17, Jesus prays for those whom thou hast given me. He prays for his elect. He prays for you. He prays for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in sin. They were under wrath, under condemnation, under the dominion and the power of Satan. They needed to be delivered, and by his death on the cross, Jesus delivers from the power of sin, Satan, and death, and now forever. We belong to this king. By way of the sacrifice of himself, Jesus satisfies the righteousness of God. This anointed king satisfies the justice of God with respect to sin, because he offers a perfect sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice that was foreshadowed by those perfect lambs. Now, there was not a lamb in the Old Testament that was absolutely perfect, but it was to be a lamb without defect. It was to prefigure, foreshadow the Savior who would truly be perfect in every way, because only a perfect sacrifice would satisfy God's justice, blot out the guilt of sin, and that is the very thing which Christ brings the perfect sacrifice of his own life on the cross of Calvary, and the sentence of death is carried out upon this substitute for sinners, so that God's justice is forever satisfied. Have you ever thought of that in your own heart? There is nothing that can ever be brought against you anymore. Paul picks up that theme, and he talks about that in Romans, and it ought to be something we contemplate, especially as we think of the sacrifice of Christ and we remember it in the table of the Lord. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, Paul writes. And he also goes on in Romans to say that no one can bring a charge against you. And he even brings God into the picture, and he says, can Christ? No, he died for you. He won't bring a charge. God won't bring a charge, because God's justice, as this text and as all of Scripture tells us, is perfectly satisfied. And we are now justified before God because the Savior went to the cross and died in our place. His cross is that battlefield where, in that fierce hour of battle and in the hour of death, he appears powerless upon the cross, yet it's his final assault. And he defeats the destructive power of sin and cries, "It is finished." Not only the work of salvation, but the defeat of Satan, the enemy. That's why Satan is a defeated enemy for the believer. And Paul as well in Romans says he will certainly be crushed soon under your feet, as he writes to the believing church. The enemy is defeated by the power of Christ, and in Christ we stand on the victory side, victors over that enemy as well. That apparently impotent victim hanging there upon the cross, suffering the ridicule and the mockery of his enemies, is actually God, as one author says, the devil by his throat. I like that phrase. He's got the devil by the throat. He's taking the sting out of death, and he's choking the last breath out of the condemnation of sin. Victory upon the cross, declared in those words, that one word, "It is finished." Rather than defeating him, when his enemies placed him on the cross, they were leading him to his victory, which at the moment of apparent defeat, when he would die, he does not cry out in defeat. He cries out in victory, because he had accomplished all that God had called him to do. The battle was done. Satan had been defeated. Sin was blotted out. Death is swallowed up in victory, as Scripture says. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this Savior who conquers death and raised from the dead, now seated at the right hand of God, will reign forever and ever and ever. It is a victory that is ours by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the victory of the table of our Lord that we celebrate today, which is in remembrance of him, remembering that he died, that he gave his life victoriously to defeat the power of sin that we might live, and that he reigns and reigns forever and will reign for all eternity with those that he has gathered by his grace and for his glory. And it is only by grace and through faith that we confirm the truth of that announcement. And we receive that testimony ourselves by grace through faith. We put all our confidence in that message of the crucified, risen Savior. And we are not disappointed, because the crucified, risen Savior is the ruling Savior who, by his word of the gospel, has conquered our sin and our hearts and transformed us, so that trusting in him, we enter into his victorious work. We receive his finished and perfect righteousness. In him, we know that we're right with God both now and forever. We're justified. The mouth of God has spoken it, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the message of the gospel declares. Do you believe it? Are you one who trusts in Jesus If you believe it, you are accepted in Christ. You are made a member of Christ. You are given all of the assurance in God's word that word of victory upon the cross has sealed for eternity your salvation. Nothing needs to be added to it. Jesus paid it all. The work of Christ was sufficient. And when he said it is finished on the cross, it was finished. Everything was finished. Not one thing more needed to be added to that which Christ did, so that we might stand with him and that we might be joined together with him, that we might be made members of God's family with him and adopted in Christ and be saved forever. We enter into that victory over sin and death and evil. We enter into the battle in which the captain of our salvation has already defeated the enemy with his cry of victory. It is finished. And that, beloved in the Lord, is the message of the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we celebrate today. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember, he cried out in victory on the cross, "It is finished," so that your salvation was secure, that your salvation would be fully accomplished, and that you might be made a child of God in Jesus Christ and reign with him for all eternity without this glorious cry of victory, "It is finished." We might think there's something we have to do. There's something more that needs to be done. But no, he didn't cry out in agony. He didn't cry out in defeat. He didn't say, "Then if you only do this," he cried out, "Tetelestai. It is finished." And because it is finished, there is nothing left for us to do but to receive by faith the finished work of the seated, ruling Christ at the right hand of God the Father, who rules and reigns and will gather us unto himself for all eternity in the glorious day when he comes again to fully deliver this world from sin and establish that new and eternal kingdom wherein we will dwell forever with him and glorify him for that which he did on our behalf on the cross for our sake, for us, and for our salvation. To God be the glory. Amen.